Pop goes. We might say the meanest things. Pop goes. Sometimes we're not much company. There's no rearranging. Our writing remains the same. We remain the same. And as far as we're concerned, Pop goes. You belong to us. Pop goes.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 3 of the Pop Dose podcast. I'm Dave Lifton, and we're releasing this the day after Thanksgiving, so I hope you all had a good holiday. And if the tryptophan didn't get to you, I'm sure this podcast will. As always, joining me today from their secret undisclosed locations in Astoria, Queens, in New Hampshire are Jeff Giles and Jason Hare. Gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Sup, fuckers?
There it is. Sup, fuckers, everybody.
Good afternoon. What are you talking about?
Well, I don't know. I just didn't know what time this was posting and what time people would listen to it. And what time does this go live? 9:30?
Why don't you just wish everybody a happy Easter?
Happy
Easter. Because you don't know when they're going to be listening to it.
Happy day after Thanksgiving. Happy Black Friday, everybody.
Oh, that's right.
I hope you will be downloading this podcast and taking it with you on your iPods as you run through the mall.
I wonder if future me is going to be out shopping with my father-in-law when this posts.
What are these malls you speak of? Downtown urban shopping. That's the way to go.
Jeff, where are you going? Home Depot? Lowe's?
Probably. I don't know. I just know that he likes to, you know, he likes to collect the circulars and he likes to head out early, you know, on Black Friday. And
Jeff's dad's already online at Walmart.
No. My wife's dad.
By early, do you mean like 8 a.m. or by early, do you mean 5 a.m.?
Closer to 5 a.m.
Oh,
yeah.
Ugh. My wife's family likes to go and do the mall on Black Friday, and I went with them 1 year, and I just, even with my iPod on and trying out, was like I made a mix of, like, you know, calm, soothing songs, you know, good, really good jazz, things that just kind of make me happy, and I couldn't get through it. It was just, I waited online at Best Buy, I think, for like 2.5 hours for a DVD player that was like maybe $15 off.
Jesus.
I don't even know why I did it. You know why I did it? Because everybody else was doing it.
I don't understand that at all.
Me neither. Trust me. I jumped on the bandwagon. It was a mistake.
I think Leah's got an aunt who was in the parking lot at I want to say it was Walmart at like midnight. You know, Thanksgiving night.
Oh, yeah,
waiting
of course.
For some damn thing.
I guess if I had a really big ticket item, like a digital SLR, or, you know, a new TV or something like that, that I knew was going to be discounted heavily, you know, by a couple $100s or something like that, maybe I would do it. But I don't think my wife's mom and sister, I don't think they buy anything on Black Friday. No, I really don't think they do, for the most part. I mean, they go to get
ideas. People watching?
Well, they go to get ideas, and I think they like the atmosphere of being in the mall with all these other people. It's like, you know, it's like the start of the Christmas.
Good Lord.
It's the start of the Christmas season if you haven't walked into a drugstore or watched television, you know.
It's the start of Christmas season with people being crushed to death to, you know, get a $5 waffle iron.
that's pretty much true. I don't know. I find that the place where the Christmas season really starts first is, like, the drugstores, Rite Aid and Walgreens and stuff like that, you know, or whatever, you know, drugstore you have in your neighborhood. That usually, like, the day after Halloween, that's officially when Christmas starts for them. And, you know, obviously there are already Christmas ads on television.
I've been seeing it as early as Labor Day.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah. I started seeing stuff like in, like Bed Bath & Beyond.
Oh.
Why are you hanging out at Bed Bath & Beyond, Dave?
Because I have a new apartment. I have to, I'm always getting stuff for it.
Is it new? You've been there for a year.
He likes scented candles, Jeff. Leave him alone.
Fess up, bro. You're not.
I do like scented candles. After I make, like, chili night, something's got to clear the air.
I'll defend you there, Dave. I like scented candles, too. In fact, I think one of those Black Friday trips that I made to the mall, I did spend a ridiculous amount of time in Yankee Candle. I like that store.
I like it in theory, but how much time can you spend inhaling that stuff?
Apparently the answer for me is about an hour.
It's like,
that's how much I spent.
It's like a more rustic version of Sephora.
Yeah, well, I don't think I'm going to be doing Black Friday this year. I think I'm staying away from the malls.
I guess I'll be doing the shopping for everybody then. Anything I can pick up for you guys?
I'll take a scented candle.
I'll get you the one, what do they call it? Fresh sheets?
Clean linen.
Clean
linen. Or fresh linen. I had that candle.
That's disgusting.
Someone bought us...
It smells nothing like clean linen.
Someone bought us an overpriced candle from Yankee Candle 1 year, and it was like, it was this white candle, and it said the word, I think it said peace on it. You know, it was supposed to be like, this is what the scent of peace was. I don't know. It's, you know, it's their marketing thing. And then I went back to Yankee Candle, and I opened up whatever the fresh linen or the clean cotton or whatever that scent is. Same scent. They just remarketed it under, you know, fresh linen equals peace.
It's awful.
Yeah. I like that. I like that scent.
Bleh. I prefer the apple pie or whatever.
Yeah, the pumpkins, the cinnamons, the...
Yeah, I like the apple.
Actually, you know, my favorite one is New England clam chowder.
Yeah, I will stick my dick right in that candle. But man, the hot wax really makes it a problem.
And speaking of all this, actually, I'm kind of glad that we got into that, because I do have a prepared statement that I'd like to make on that subject. And I'd appreciate you holding your comments until I'm done here.
Sticking your dick into candles? Oh, something else. Okay, yes, go ahead. Please,
yes,
please,
okay.
Sir. Please. Dave Lifton.
Dear Popdose Podcast listeners, I would like to hereby formally apologize to anybody and everybody who was offended by my remarks on the last podcast. It was not my intention to suggest that having carnal knowledge with a bowl of soup is part of the Lord's plan for mankind, or food. It was merely a glib piece of wordplay, and any attempt to read more into it is yet another case of the mainstream media taking things out of context in their attempts to destroy me for their own profit. Besides, the Bible clearly states that soup can only be reproduced in recipe form. However, over the past month, I've come to understand that with my role as podcast host comes an enormous responsibility to serve as a role model for the youth of this country, one I promise to take more seriously, beginning with this episode. God bless America, the troops, and his representative on Earth, Sarah Palin. Sincerely, Dave Lifton, popdose.com. And with that, we move to our topic for today's show, vegetable sodomy.
Bend over, carrot.
And since we are always looking for a way to make these shows timely and topical, we are each going to talk about things that happened on Thanksgivings in our childhood. And we're going to begin with Jeff.
Come on. Jeff Jazzy, Jeff Jazzy,
so when I think of Thanksgiving, I think of going to my grandparents' house in Southern California, where they moved when I was, I don't know, 12 or so. And the best Thanksgiving was one that took place just a few years ago. You know, all the kids were adults, and you know, our parents really had no authority over us anymore. And I don't think there was any alcohol involved, but based on the way things turned out, there may have been, that I'm just not remembering. But we all just kind of were very rude and inappropriate. And
shocking.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it for a second.
I don't believe it. There was no alcohol involved.
Right, Jeff?
It just proves that I don't need it to be rude and inappropriate. But my grandfather was, he was getting on, and I think he had a little bit of Alzheimer's, and so, you know, we probably, this is going to offend somebody, I'm sure. But
I was
going to
say, this is going to be a funny story.
Well, no, like he wasn't an invalid, but he would forget stuff. Like my younger sister hates salad, didn't want salad, but my grandfather kept forgetting that he had asked people if they wanted salad, so we kept kind of whispering to him and nudging him that my sister would wanted some salad, and so five or six times he asked her if he could pass her the salad, and she was trying very hard to be polite, but she knew what we were doing, and she kept getting angrier and angrier. And of course, my brothers and I thought it was hysterical, and things just kind of kept building and building, and finally my grandfather yells out, "Anybody want any dark meat?" And my brother and I just looked at each other and started shaking because we were laughing so hard and trying to hold it in, and tears are running down our faces. And my dad is sitting at the end of the table glaring at us like he wishes he could get up and smack us both. And then my grandmother at the head of the table says, "This is a very silly family."
And then Graham Chapman came in and stopped the proceedings.
Yeah. My grandmother's very proper. I mean, she's like the kind of woman who would put on a scarf and maybe her pearl necklace to come downstairs and vacuum in the morning. So she's very, you know, I don't think she really understood what was happening, but if she had, I'm sure she wouldn't have thought it was very funny.
Anybody else holding anybody else holding back a pearl necklace comment? It's just me. Okay, just me.
No, we're talking about Jeff's grandmother, not your mom.
Oh, my bad. Oh. I always get this confused. Okay, sorry, continue.
And so then after dinner, we sat down around the television, and they were going to put on a movie or something, and I asked my grandmother if it was safe to turn on whatever happened to be in the DVD player, you know, in front of the family.
Oh, please let it be Deep Throat. Please let it be Deep Throat. Please let it be Deep Throat.
Well, again, she didn't know what I was talking about. And then finally, she had a bowl of nuts. And they were being passed around, and my brother passed her the bowl of nuts, and I told her to be careful which ones she took out of the bowl, and she asked me why, and I told her it was because my brother was a nut licker. And again, it went right over her head. So that was my best Thanksgiving right there. Those were good times.
I like all of those stories, but I think the story about the salad kind of epitomizes, I think, what Thanksgiving is about. It's like all those little things that everybody kind of does to antagonize other members of their family, and it's those kind of little things that, like, maybe when you look back, you're like, well, that really wasn't worth getting that big of, you know, getting that upset over or whatever. But in the heat of the moment, when you're stuck with family for like the day, you just want to strangle them.
Or in your case, several days. Don't you guys go to a house upstate where there are no distractions
Well, it used to be. Now we have, you know, cable and internet and things like that. But back in the old days, the early...
You were forced to talk to each other.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fuck
pretty
that.
Much. Ugh. Yeah.
See, this is why everybody goes to the malls, to get away from each other.
I remember one Thanksgiving. My sister is 11 years younger than I am. What year was it? I'm sure Jason remembers this. What year was it that Macaulay Culkin put out his Nutcracker?
Why would I remember that?
Because you have a poster of him over your bed?
I wasn't sure if that was a theater comment, if that was a Macaulay Culkin comment, if that was a Nutcracker comment. I mean, that could have gone...
All of the above, my friend. All of the above.
I don't know.
1993, according to IMDb.
There you go.
All right, so this year, we had to sit around and watch it because my sister wanted to. The Mall is infinitely preferable to watching Macaulay Culkin in the Nutcracker, let me tell you.
Unless it was actually him cracking nuts. And by that I either mean genitals, or it might actually be interesting because he was such a star at that point, just to have a movie where he just sits there in a chair and just cracks open walnuts and shit.
I think that's the equivalent of what he did. I mean, like, you know, in terms of testing your box office clout. You can strap on a leotard, or you can sit down in a chair and crack nuts. Either way,
I think that would be very funny. Macaulay Culkin cracks nuts.
It's performance art.
Just opens one nut after another, puts the shells in one bowl, puts the nuts in another, doesn't eat them, just sits there and cracks them for a full hour.
Maybe. And then there's him trying to get the dye from the red pistachio that's off his hands.
Ah, the plot twist.
That was a bonus feature on the DVD.
With the commentary track,
just, right? Or if you put on the subtitles, all the subtitles are just like one, two,
crack,
three, crack. You're tuning in to Jason
Hare. Jason?
Yeah. So most of my Thanksgiving experiences. Revolve around the Adirondacks of New York State, because my family since the late 80s has had a house up there, and also my wife Jessica's family lives in Albany. So it's very rare that there's a Thanksgiving that I'm actually in the tri-state area, you know, the New York, this New York City, Long Island type area. This year I'll be down here, but so up at my family's house in the Adirondacks for many, many years, as we were saying before, no internet. We didn't have cable television. We had three channels, which was CBS, NBC, and then CBS, the Vermont affiliate. So, and in order to get to each channel, you had to turn this. You had this dial next to the television, and when you turned it, you could hear the antenna turning outside. Wow. You'd hear like this huge mechanical whir, and it was just like you just had to like turn it and watch the television and find out when the clearest, you know, where the clearest part was, and then stop the antenna from turning. And the really stupid about this thing about this is that I'm not talking about the 70s. This was like 1992, and like my dad was just like too cheap to get cable or whatever. So anyway, so that resulted in us spending a lot of family time together. The first thing that I was going to mention about a Thanksgiving memory doesn't have to do with that, but you know that switch that you have in your body that tells you when you're full, when you've been eating?
No.
It's not right. It's not that I
have you seen me lately?
it's not that I don't have it. It's just that it doesn't it's kind of on the fritz. It doesn't work very well. It kind of dings too late. And when I'm presented with a lot of food and like options to go back and get more food, I go back and get more food. And so I like to eat a lot. And there was one Thanksgiving where I was really pigging out. And I remember thinking, oh man, you know, I mean, not to get, you know, graphic on this podcast, but I remember thinking, I gotta go make some room, you know. So I was like, I'm really full. I don't feel too good. So I went to the bathroom, and I remember sitting down in the bathroom, and then,
oh God.
And then the next thing I know, I'm on the floor, and my face is on the floor. And I have no idea what the hell happened. And I think...
Wait, you actually had indoor plumbing at this camp?
Yeah, right. I was in the outhouse. My face was in the snow.
In the privy.
And I was laying on the floor. And I was like, I have no idea what just happened. I'm relatively certain I passed out from eating too much food. Because I remember sitting down on the toilet, and I don't remember moving from it, but then I was just laying on the floor. And I was like, this is really not a good thing to be talking about on this podcast.
And it was 2 days later, and your parents had all gone home.
It was Christmas.
He's stranded in the Adirondacks, and it's snowing.
It was Christmas. I walked out the door, and suddenly there was a Christmas tree. My whole family had gone a month without noticing I was gone. But actually, the funny thing is that I don't know how long I was passed out for, but nobody noticed I was gone. Like, I got up, and I walked out of the bathroom, and... nobody was like, oh, where were you for whatever time, or we heard a thump in the bathroom as you must have fallen from the toilet to the floor. And I like that it didn't happen. I walked out, and it was like nothing had happened. No, and no one even was like, you know, no one was even like, how are you? So I just sat down.
How long?
Just,
did you figure out how long you were out?
No, I have no idea. Because nobody noticed how long it was. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't wearing a watch or anything like that. I just, you know, I don't know. So now I actually do try to be a little bit careful, specifically at Thanksgiving. I try not to eat too much because I don't want to pass out. So that's my first little thing.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
So how old were you when this happened?
Oh, do I have to say that? I want to say 25, 26. This was a few years ago. This wasn't like when I was a kid. This was relatively recently.
I think that when you're younger, your capacity for just overeating is greater, and the possibility for a food coma happens doesn't really set in until you're in your 20s and 30s and stuff.
Well, you've seen Jason, right? I mean, he still has the appearance of a 17-year-old boy.
Thank you, Jeff. I take that as a compliment.
It's tattooed on his shoulder.
His genetics, you know, maybe at the age of 25, he was 13.
Well, I think this is actually a problem, is the fact that I do have a relatively fast metabolism. I don't tend to really gain weight, which is a great thing. But at the same time, it's not like it doesn't give me a reminder when I'm eating. Let's just say that, you know. And I still do it. I still eat way too much. You know, like, oh, God forbid you bring me to, like, a wedding or some kind of thing where they have hors d'oeuvres beforehand. You know, like the past kind, you know, like the pigs in a blanket and the little crab cakes and all that stuff. Oh, man, that's just the best.
See, Jeff and I do the opposite. We drink too much in those situations.
Yeah, I was going to say I blame this whole thing on – there must be something about the presence of your father because my alcohol switch completely shut off around him.
Around my dad?
Yeah, and I'll never be able to live that down.
Why? That's because he commented so much on how much you were drinking when you came down to visit?
Yeah, I think your father really genuinely believes I'm an alcoholic.
Well, I haven't done anything to help dispel that.
Nor have I.
Didn't you like call me or email me on the way home after you left here and you were like, tell your dad I checked straight into rehab or something?
Yeah, exactly.
He thought that was very funny. Well, remember, my family, they don't really drink. My mom has a glass of wine every once in a while and maybe my dad, but they're very sober people and I don't drink either. So I guess maybe I got that from them. I guess I did get that from them.
That's funny. My parents drove me to drink.
Well, yeah, and they probably drove my brother to drink, you know, but I, for some reason, don't.
Because we know for some reason because you're a self-proclaimed mama's boy.
Oh, okay. I thought you were just going to say very simply that I'm a pussy, which, I mean, both are true.
Well, it's the same thing, but I was implying that it came from your desire to need to please your family at every situation.
I have a need to please Jason's mother.
Sexually? Or I have a need to please your mother. Her and her shrinking pie. That's a shout out to episode 1, everybody. Go back and listen.
The shrinking pie, the edible merkin. Go back and download it.
It's probably because my family is so sober that doesn't help the Thanksgiving tension. There was one Thanksgiving where well, you guys know me. I'm relatively antagonistic, and so is my dad. And my dad is the kind of person where if he sees somebody getting upset, you know, or irritated by what he's doing, more upset than irritated, I'd say. So if he sees that somebody's getting upset by something that he's saying or making fun of, he knows that's, you know, that's a good reason to push it and just keep going. And my aunt, my mom's sister, God bless her, I love her so much, and she's put up with my dad's crap for many since him and my mom started dating, and she's a saint. She puts up with a lot of this stuff. And then there was one Thanksgiving where he just went over the edge, and I don't even know what it was about, but it ended with my cousins, her sons, having to literally hold her back from punching my dad in the face. And if she ever heard, I know she checks out my stuff from time to time. I don't think she'll ever hear this, but if she did, she'd probably not be happy. I won't say her name or anything, but you know.
Is this the aunt who called you to tell you that Dave Lifton was very crude?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I will explain that story very briefly that Dave, you know, Dave, Jeff, and I have, obviously, if you've been listening to this podcast so far, you notice that what we do is make fun of each other's mothers. And I posted a picture of the surgery.
It's your dad's x-ray.
Yeah, an x-ray of my dad's foot, which has all this kind of metal in it and all these kind of, you know, because he broke his foot and he's getting it repaired. And Dave said something like, that's such a coincidence.
Your line was, check out the hardware in my dad.
Right.
That was the caption you had with the x-ray. And I wrote something like, that's nothing compared to the hardware I had in your mom last night.
Which I thought was a brilliant response. And you know a good...
And immediately afterwards, I should say, right after that, I wrote, Mrs. Hare, if you're reading this, I sincerely apologize.
Right, which was a good thing to write, you know, because I don't know if you had seen a previous photo that Jeff had posted where I made fun of his mother, and then his mother went and commented on it.
No, I don't.
They had this whole little dialogue for a while.
No, I don't think your mom commented after I said something to her where I was like, how are you? It's been so long or something
like
that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Like, thank God you're here, I think you said, yeah.
Something like that. And you know a good mother joke is when, you know, someone makes the joke and you're like, I can't believe I walked straight into that.
Right.
You know, and looking back at my photo comment, I was like, how did I not see the words hardware in my dad and not see what I was doing. Like, I just didn't even think about it. And
I was just thrilled that I got to it before Jeff did.
It was a great moment. And then I was talking to my aunt. She goes, "Your friend Dave Lifton is very crude." And I want to write in. I mean, I think she was a little joking, but she was like, "I want to write in and tell him, don't talk about my sister that way."
Wait, and what did you tell her?
What
in response?
I told her that she really shouldn't.
Complaining about crude comments on Facebook is like,
yeah, it's like going to a strip club and complaining about the nude women.
Right.
Right. Which I'm wondering if in the back of her head she was wondering, why did he come up with a strip club analogy? I don't know why that was. But yeah, she was, you know, I said to her, you know, Facebook is not really meant for you. I didn't mean to sound rude about it, but I was like, you know, it's a young person's thing, you know. By the way, I know I shouldn't tell you guys this, but my grandma's on Facebook now.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty awesome. And so I told
her,
you know, fuck you. Fuck you, that's her name. Her name is Go Fuck Yourself. Grandma, go fuck yourself. I'm glad we're actually talking about my dad, because that leads me into the last quick little story I have about my dad that surrounds Thanksgiving. So I think it was the same Thanksgiving that my aunt was up there with her sons, and so there was the whole family was up there, and my dad was like, "Let's go for a nature walk, because we're out in the middle of nowhere, really." And I think that's a great idea. That's what I would do if I had my choice to do on the Friday after Thanksgiving. I'd go for a hike or a bike ride or something outside in the cold air that kind of helps you forget about all the food you ate the day before, and probably that morning too. You probably threw them in your eggs or something like that. So we were going on this nature walk, and my dad is very much like a know-it-all with anything, really. But when we went on this nature walk, he'd be like, "Oh, and that's a red sparrow, and that's a you know," he would start naming plants and birds and things that he thought he knew what they were. And I was starting to get the feeling that he was, well, I've always had the feeling that he's full of shit, but there was something about this. I was like, you know, he can't possibly know all this stuff. There were probably five or six of us walking with him. So I ran ahead of the trail about, I don't know how far ahead, but far enough that they couldn't see me. And I got on the ground, and with my mitten, I made three circles, connecting circles in the ground. And then I went back, and he didn't even notice I was gone because he was too busy talking to other people. And then I went back and rejoined them. And we get up to the part where I left the circles. And I go, "Dad, what kind of track is this in the snow? What kind of print is this?" And he looks down, and he's like, "Why, that's a black bear."
"No, Dad, it's a suburban middle class asshole."
Right. he's like, that's a black bear. He's like, "And the reason it's a black bear, you can tell, is because of the proportion of the left part of the paw here to the right part of the paw." And he starts talking about this whole thing. And of course, I had told my cousins and my brother at that point that I had gone ahead and just rubbed my hand in the snow.
Did you ever tell him?
Like, probably immediately afterwards I did, but he just kind of brushed it off and whatever went on his went on his way, you know. But it's just like an example. Like, he immediately knew what it was, even though he had no idea what it was. So those are kind of my Thanksgiving stories. They all revolve around that upstate area.
I have to meet him.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, it's an experience. I gotta tell you, we were at a barbecue, was sitting on a bench, and I was in the middle. And Jeff and my dad were on either side, and I was like, "Oh, I cannot believe I put myself in this. Like, I willingly put myself in this situation." Where Jeff and my dad could talk to each other about me. Just what I needed.
Next year, I am so making this barbecue. Yeah, and you're not even going to know it. I'm going to set the whole thing up with Jeff.
Perfect.
I'm going to crash it.
We've spent way too much of this podcast talking about my father. Please, let's move on.
Okay, let's talk about your mom again.
Yes, yes, please. Let's roll on to my mother. What? It was just an innocent comment.
You know, maybe it's just because I'm older than you guys, but in all honesty, I really can't remember anything crazy happening on Thanksgiving. because like everybody in my family lived really close to each other. Like my grandmother, my grandparents were one town away. My aunt and uncle were three towns over, and I had a grandmother and another aunt and uncle who lived in New York City, and you know, just come out to Long Island. So we saw each other all the time anyway. And we also had the Jewish holidays, so we always got together a few times a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it wasn't a huge deal. You know, the main thing that I remember about happening, something like out of the ordinary that would happen, was that like my mother would have to make a separate portion of stuffing without walnuts because of my cousin's allergy.
Uh-huh.
But like the way things were, like in my family, like there were unintentional things that would happen that were taken as slights by somebody, and they wouldn't cause a fight at the time that it happened, but like years later it would be brought up. You know, like you think of like the famous scene in Avalon where, you know, you carved the turkey without me, you know.
Well, that's the Jewish way,
right? But that wasn't what would happen. Like if there was something that somebody would take offense to,
yeah,
years later something would happen and then they'd say, oh, and then there was that time 2 years ago when you did that, and we'd like, why didn't you bring this up then? Well, because the kids were around and stuff like that. You know, that wasn't the way that things worked. So, like, you didn't really have these things that happened, these crazy stories like that you guys had.
Right.
And on top of that, you know, like, I never really thought of Thanksgiving as a huge holiday because, for most of my 20s, I was working in retail. And that meant, like, one day to rest up before 5 to 6 weeks of hell.
So that means 5 weeks of listening to Christmas music?
Oh, yeah.
I would kill for just 5 weeks, but
I made sure we had good stuff playing when I was in charge of the stores and you know, I had control of what to open up. You know, yeah, you had some crap, but I also had the good stuff going, some good stuff going in there. And in my 30s, my then girlfriend and I were involved in a supporters club for our soccer team, and that season ends just before Thanksgiving. So like we would use that weekend, those days off, just to like sit around the house because we were just so exhausted from everything we had done. And you know, like maybe we'd make like a nice little dinner, but mostly we'd just like sit around watching football and the Food Network or something like that. I'm not trying to piss all over Thanksgiving. I mean, I think it's a great holiday and it's very important in our culture, you know, unless you're a Native American, of course. But it just never resonated with me in the way that, you know, society dictates that you're supposed to, you know.
Yeah,
it's just kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, I mean, please, you know, it's not like we think when we have Thanksgiving, it's not like we think about anything that, you know, you're supposed to think about at Thanksgiving. It's pretty much Thanksgiving pretty much equals before Christmas. The holiday before Christmas.
Thanksgiving for me meant like, all right, just do nothing and
get ready for the
football, right? You're a football fan.
Of course. And I even got my Giants playing this year on it. Who by the time this is uploaded, I'm probably cursing the fact that they lost to Kyle Orton.
Who are the Giants?
Who are the Giants?
Who are the Giants?
They're the team that occupies the stadium that the Jets play in.
Who are the Jets? Oh, from West Side Story.
I figured if you were a football fan, you would have been a Jets fan, being from New York, being you.
Oh, he's mocking you here.
But I can't laugh at it. I don't watch football, so I can't even get the joke. I feel like I can tell that it's an insult, but I don't know why to be offended.
Here's the joke. I was listening to the new Artie Lang yesterday.
Yeah.
And the joke is he's talking about the Jets, and he says an older guy, I forget, you know, I think it was his dad or his uncle or somebody, and this guy was a Jets fan, and he told Artie why, and he said, you know, when you get older, you're going to forget about football for a little while. You're going to start thinking about girls. And then you're going to get even older than that. And you're going to return to the Jets because there are going to be times when a woman doesn't feel like fucking you. But the Jets will always fuck you.
My favorite story about the Jets involved was written by Joe Queenan. He wrote a book about sports called True Believers. And he said that he was at a Jets game and some guy in the crowd got beat up because he looked like Richie Kotite.
And if you look like Richie Kotite, you have problems enough. You don't have people beating you
but
up.
But this was just after, this is like a few years after he had been fired as the coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he's like, yeah, how dare you set foot at a Jets game if you look like he completely deserved it.
Poor Jason. I think Jason passed out.
I'm gonna go take a leak. I'll be back in a bit. You guys keep going.
Yeah. And then there was this one guy like who at another time wound up in the middle of another season of Futility reciting the names of all of the number one draft picks who hadn't worked out. But there actually somebody put that together on YouTube. Like every televised draft of every single first round pick the Jets had had over the years. Kenny O'Brien, Blair Thomas. Ah! You see like the New York crowd reacting with horror.
I'm a lifelong Seahawks fan. I understand futility.
Yeah, well, how do you feel seeing Zorn coaching the Redskins?
I feel bad for Zorn, man. I mean, even as much... first of all, I hate the Redskins. Just the fact that there's a franchise called the Redskins.
Well, I hate the Redskins because I lived for nearly 20 years in D.C. and I'm a Giants fan.
I don't think that should be allowed to stand. I can't... It boggles my mind that we have a football team called the Redskins. But anyway, you know, what happened to Zorn this year was just terrible, what they did to him. Is that Jason?
I just went and found a sound clip of somebody peeing.
Where's the flush?
So,
where's the flush? Come on,
find a flush. I just typed in urinating sound clip into Google.
Holy shit!
Sorry.
And now it's time for the endorsement portion of the podcast, and due to Jason's typo in the show notes for the last episode, we now have a name for this segment, and that is the endorsement. So for this month's endorsement, we've each decided to pick something that we are thankful for. So, Jeff, what are you thankful for?
Bourbon. I'm actually looking for a bourbon endorsement.
How did we not see that coming?
Because we're going to be spending Thanksgiving at my wife's uncle's place this year, and my wife's uncle is a raging Fox News Republican.
Oh.
Yeah. And also, from what I hear, I should be careful with how much I say, but I've been told that there exists the possibility of people storming out, etc., so on and so forth.
That's a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
I don't know how you dealt with your aunt trying to sock your dad in the face, and then you guys were there for, well, probably another day.
We made it through somehow.
Yeah. So I'm going to be buying a big old jug of bourbon before Thanksgiving. So I guess this will post a little too late for me to get any bourbon endorsements, but I'll be making a stop in Rhode Island at what they call the package store. And looking for a nice, fine, solid, high-proof brand. And the package stores in Rhode Island aren't that big either, but they tend to have a little more... There's a little more potential to find kind of small labels.
Well, it's a small state.
Not in-state labels, though.
Oh, okay. Sorry, you can only get Gansett and Autocrat coffee syrup in the package stores in Rhode Island.
That's right. I have found a couple of real high-proof, small-label bourbons during trips to Rhode Island, so that's what I'll be keeping my eye out for. Oh, I'll also be buying the Tom Petty box set while I'm down there, too.
Oh, cool.
Because the Best Buy exclusive version, you know, I don't think there's a Best Buy anywhere in New Hampshire. If there is, I don't know where it is. So I'll be stopping by and picking that up while I'm down there.
Live free and avoid big box stores is the new state motto?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then I sit there, getting high, mellow, knocked out, feeling good. And by that time, I looked on the wall, at the old clock on the wall. By that time, it was 10:30 then. I looked down the bar, at the bartender, said, what do you want, Johnny? One bourbon, one scotch, and one bill.
Jason, what are you thankful for?
I am thankful for people who post good Christmas music on the internet. And well, I'm sure we'll talk about this, you know, a little bit at the end, and we'll mention it next month. But as you guys might know, Melamus is around the corner, just another week or so, and Popdose will be featuring the worst of Christmas music, a lot of it from this year, some from last year. And, you know, I used to be one of those people, like most people, I imagine, that don't start listening to Christmas music. At the earliest, they start listening after Thanksgiving. And then after that, you know, I used to be like, I won't listen till December 1st or December 10th or whatever. Like, I'd give myself a time so I didn't get burned out on it. And then I met Jeff, and we started doing our Melama series, and the first year we did 12 days, and then we did 25 days for the past 2 years. I think we've done 25 days, which means that we really have to get a head start. So I start listening to, we start listening to Christmas music, like, late October. Which is just...
At the latest,
which just makes it really hard for me to get into, like, the spirit of Christmas music. Because I'm really big on Christmas music, and I'm really big on... it's the only section of my music collection in iTunes that I'm really, really anal retentive about. Like, every song has to be absolutely rated from 1 to 5 stars. And put into specific playlists. Because we have holiday parties here at my apartment, and I like to have good music around. So I just don't dump it all in, you know. And a couple years ago, I think 2 years ago, Jeff gave me his entire Christmas collection, which was a billion songs. So I had to rate all those. And then this year, pretty much it had just been bad Christmas music, you know, the stuff that we were discussing for Melamus. And I was like, if I'm going to have to be listening to Christmas music, and if I'm going to have to be rating it, I mean that I'm anal retentive and have to rate it. I'm OCD and have to rate it. I'd like to listen to some good stuff. So I'm going to endorse a friend of Popdose, Jeff Ash, who has a website called AM Then FM, and I'll give you guys the link will be in the show notes, but it's AM Then THENFM.wordpress.com. And Jeff, for the past 2 years, he has a series called Three Under the Tree, where he posts a lot of old Christmas music, a lot of it ripped from vinyl, and he's posted
good stuff.
Good stuff, and he's posted so much over the past couple of years. And as I explained to him recently, I hadn't gotten to it in past years because by the time I, you know, he's such a prolific poster that by the time I got to his music, I was completely burned out from all the bad shit that we'd listened to. So I had about a little over 100 of his tracks in a folder on my computer entitled A Very Jeff Ash Christmas, and I moved him over to my iPod. And I've been going through my anal retentive method of rating each one. So I've got a little over 100, and I'm probably a little more than halfway through. And even though it's not Christmas yet, and I'm not really in the Christmas spirit yet, most of these songs are really, like, for me, they're 4-star songs. They're a bunch of 3-star songs. There are very few 1 or 2 star rated songs. But most of them are really, really great. So I would recommend to everybody that they check out AM Then FM this year. I think Jeff is going to be posting less than he did in previous years. I think it's a lot of work for him to do, first of all. That's what I'm thankful for this year. I'm thankful for people. I mean, if we were to get serious, I would say other things about, you know, health and family and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I think we...
Conrad Bain.
Soup. But I think we said that we weren't going to get... sentimental in what we were going to, you know, be thankful for. So I'm thankful for people like Jeff who post really good especially old Christmas music, that, you know, blues and soul and stuff that I really wasn't aware of, that I'm happy to add to my collection.
People who keep up the good fight against bastards like us.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I still have all the Melamus cuts from that you guys have posted. And by the way, that sound that you're hearing is some masonry work that's going on in my building. And
it sounded like a plane.
To me, it sounded a lot like Jason's mother's electric shaver.
That's a weed whacker. I'm just picturing my mother
grooming
in the bathroom with, like, legs out of
hair. I'm thankful that Jason's mom shaves down there.
I was picturing like legs like Harry and the Hendersons.
Mamacita Santa Claus.
Okay, and last week for me marked the first anniversary of the day that I moved here to Chicago. And as you can tell, it did not take me long to pick up the practice of saying here in Chicago, which, by the way, is also known as Ira Glass syndrome. And so I'm, you know, like we said, we weren't really going to be overly sentimental, but I am really thankful for this city, the skyline, the lakefront, the restaurants, the people. It's all amazing. You know, I like coming here as a tourist, but I really love living here. And if you've never been here and you're looking to take a vacation, definitely come here to Chicago.
To Dave's apartment.
Yeah, everybody just hang out. I got plenty of room. but not until after the winter, because it can be kind of brutal here for the winter. But, you know, I am thankful for this city. You guys ever been here?
Yeah, I went there once.
Yes, I have been to Chicago. I spent a summer at Northwestern, which I know isn't Chicago. It's Evanston, but I did spend some time in Chicago there, and one of my best friends used to live in Chicago, so I spent a weekend there in the winter. I think it was probably December, and it was quite chilly.
Yeah, I'm not too far from Evanston.
Oh, okay.
I'm on the north side.
In the summer, I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I was 17 years old or something like that. It was like my first, it was other than like sleepaway camp, it was like my first time being away from home and like being able to roam a city on my own. And that was pretty awesome.
Right.
I was there in late May. It was a lot prettier than I expected it to be.
It is. When you get a blue sky here, it's between that with the lake right there, it's just, like, all my pictures I have to color balance just because there's so much blue in it.
Wow.
I stopped through for a night. I was driving across the country with some buddies of mine, and somebody recommended that we visit this. Maybe you've heard of it. I don't remember the name of it, but like a museum of strange medical artifacts. Does this ring any bells?
I think I have heard about it, and I think I know where it is, yeah.
There's like a trepanning exhibit, and they have, you know, old kidney stones and shit, and instruments that they used to use to take out tonsils. It's very, very strange and disturbing.
Yeah.
This is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of people too. People who smile at you, and each time I roam, Chicago is calling me home. Chicago is why I just grin like a clown. It's my kind of town.
And that's going to wrap up this Thanksgiving edition of the Pop Dose Podcast. Check us out at popdose.com every day for new content. The group of contributors that we have just seems to be growing every week, and that's just making the site better and better. On the last show, I said that we were going to start running our year-end special soon, and that hasn't actually happened yet. Jeff, do we have any word on when that's starting?
It's starting on Monday. What's the date? On this coming Monday, what's it going to be, the 24th?
Okay, so it will have started by the time that this is coming up.
23rd. Yeah, Monday. We have three lists running this week. One is our favorite television shows. I'm sorry, favorite movies of the decade. One is our favorite songs. And the last one will be our favorite albums. And those will be Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, providing I don't die of fatigue before then.
Well, it's a lot of work. I want our listeners to know that Jeff, who usually goes to bed somewhere between 4 and 5 p.m., has been stayed up last night until midnight working on the year-end list. This man is nobody works as hard as Jeff Giles, y'all.
And so. it's not that Jeff goes to sleep around 4 or 5 and tends to. It's just that he passes out from the bourbon.
Exactly.
On the bathroom floor.
Right. Bringing it all together. Yes.
And then after the lists, we have Melamus coming.
Yep, that's it. It is the annual winter celebration that fills every Popdose reader with glee.
And dread.
If you're new to the site, you may not know about this. We do have our own holiday that Jason essentially created out of nothing, so we'll leave it up to him to talk about Melamus.
Yeah, Melamus started, I guess it was 2007, I think it was. Maybe 2006 or 2000, I can't remember. It was one of those years where, right after I had started my own website, and I had this idea that, you know, I was running my Adventures Through the Minds of Mellow Gold series, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could find Mellow Gold Christmas songs? So I think I was going to call it A Very Mellow Gold Christmas or something, or The 12 Days of Mellow Gold or something, and between Jeff and I, we somehow came up with Melamus, and decided to, and I was going to do it in the style of my Mellow Gold posts. Instead, Jeff and I decided to just kind of discuss the tracks, take our IM conversations and put them up on the web, and that it's been a lot of fun for both of us. I'm gonna speak for Jeff too. I think we both have a lot of fun.
Oh, feel free. I love Melamus.
Yeah, it's a great time. And what happened was that unfortunately the late 70s and 80s, which is when Mellow Gold really reached its peak, I guess the commercialization of Christmas in terms of music hadn't really happened yet, so these artists weren't releasing a lot of Christmas music. It wasn't like it is today. So we quickly ran out of artists. Like, you know, we covered the first year, we covered Christopher Cross and Andrew Gold and Stephen Bishop and Air Supply and...
Yeah, but the messed up thing was that I think with the exception of Air Supply, all of the albums that we covered from those artists they came out
later,
within like 2 years from... Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Air Supply was one of the few. And that was a real shame. But then we decided, well, you know what? What we're going to do is we're going to make Melamus encompass just all the Christmas music that doesn't need to be out there. All the Christmas music where people either released it thinking it was good or released it and thought this is a quick way for me to make some extra money at the end of the year. And so that's what we do now. And the first year, as I said, the first year it was 12 days, the 12 days of Melamus. And then stupidly Jeff and I said, let's more than double it and let's do 25 days, which is, you know, an inordinate amount of work. For us to find...
It is. And every year we think we're going to run out.
Yeah, that's true.
There's an endless supply of crappy Christmas music. As somebody who worked in record stores, I can feel safe at saying that. But this is starting on December 1st?
Yep. Yeah. December 1st and runs every goddamn day through... it'll be in the featured spot, so you cannot fucking miss it.
All month long,
every day, it will be in the featured spot. There will be a different artist in the featured spot that day, and you'll be able to download the song if you really want to. You shouldn't, but you can. You can.
You have to listen to it to get the thing. I mean, the Judy Collins one from last year. Well,
that was Christmas in Sarajevo.
Sarajevo, yeah. Yep. There's blood in the streets. This crazy bitch.
My favorite from last year was we did Shelley Duvall. Shelley Duvall released an album, of Hello, dot, what is it? Hello, I'm Shelley Duvall, dot, 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 Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. That was
and that was the way the first track opened, right? It was her going, Hello, I'm Shelley Duvall, Merry Christmas. And it was...
And on the cover of the album, she's posing with like a stuffed owl, or was it a cartoon?
It was a whole bunch of stuffed puppets, I believe. And there was a song where it was like, it's a very, very merry something, something, something hairy, da, 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 da. And so we were coming up with different rhymes for it. And Jeff came up with, I popped your mother's cherry. And the tears were streaming, the Melamus tears were streaming down my face.
Well, I will tell you that this year, the very first day, we wrote the chats for the tracks. The very first day, I had Melamus tears.
My wife always knows when we're doing Melamus because it gets very quiet in the house because I've got my headphones on, and then she hears like kind of like subtle giggling that turns to cackling that turns to weeping, and she knows exactly what's going on. So it's fun. It's a lot of work to find the songs, to write about the songs, to edit all together, but it's fun for us, and we hope it's fun for you guys. So that will be the featured story for all of December, almost all of December, you lucky people.
We should probably pause to apologize to our wives, because I know I do, you know, quote unquote research on this music, and so I'm listening to it not on headphones for easily a month and a half before Thanksgiving. And the looks that my poor wife gives me on a daily basis.
Well, there was that. Well, I think it was the Timothy B. Schmidt Mellow Gold one where Jessica said,
"Oh yeah,
is this for Mellow Gold?" Yeah, how do you know? Yeah. Because it sucks.
Yeah, she tends to know. She's been really good about it when she's home, because she's been home writing her master's thesis. So if she's not home, I'll blast it through the house. But if she is home, I got to put it on headphones just to spare her. But it's a great time. It's a great time. I've loved the chats that we've had so far. I think at this point we've probably talked about it like maybe 9 or 10 songs, and we've still got 15 to go.
One of the things that has pissed me off about Melamus was what happened last year. I had a hard drive crash right around Christmas, so I was saving them to my hard drive on my laptop, and then when I got my new computer, because I have an external for my music, you know, plug that in, and then I copied that over to the external, and I just copied that folder, and then I imported that folder first. So if you were to search or sort in iTunes by the date that it was added, the very first song that pops up is Smash Mouth's version of "Zat You Santa Claus."
Ah, that's great. That's great. I'm gonna let our podcast listeners know a dirty little secret, which is, you know, at Popdose we take the music down a week after it's been posted. That's the way that we should do it. But the secret, just for you people that are listening, is that all the old Melamus tracks are still active. So
you could click on the tag category for Melamus, and you can see all those
old
posts.
Exactly.
And you too can hear Smash Mouth's version of
Is that you, Santa Claus?
And also, of course, the Saw Lady and Wing.
That's right. It was a fruitful year last year. Yes. And this year's shaping up. This year's looking pretty good.
Yeah. We didn't actually get a Wing reference in this episode. This was the first Wing reference, so I have to keep it in there.
And you should also, I've been trying to get Jason to contact this guy who does Talkbox music on YouTube and try and get him to do a version of Alan's theme with Talkbox.
Yeah, he does this version, Dave, of "Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas." That is fucking awesome, and I mean that, no irony whatsoever. That it's really. In fact, I'll send you the link to his YouTube.
Oh, joy!
No, really, no, seriously, it's really, really good.
It's funky.
Okay. Yeah, you liked it, Jeff. You genuinely liked it, right?
I did like it, and I want him to do the Melamus theme.
So be sure to look for all of these and more. You can find the previous two episodes of the podcast by clicking the link on the sidebar or over at iTunes. And as we say every month, if you do use iTunes, please leave a review of the show, because it helps increase the visibility of the podcast. And right now I think we have only 2 reviews, and we can't properly fulfill our stated mission of kicking Adam Carolla's ass without your help.
2 reviews, people. Come on, please. Come on. Wow, that sounded desperate. I mean...
Yeah, that's like PBS desperate there.
Let me try this. Two reviews? Damn. We fucked soup for you guys.
And candles.
And candles, yeah.
Jason's mom shaved for you guys.
She does that for everybody, though. And you can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/popdose. We don't just pimp our own articles, but we'll also point you to other cool spots on the web that we think are interesting. And we will be back sometime next month with the holidays coming up. Not sure when that's going to be, and I'm sure we'll come up with something. But until then, Jason and Jeff, anything else to add?
It's been a pleasure.
Fuck you guys.
Oh, well, there you go. That's actually what I really really wanted to say. Fuck you guys.
I can tell with the pause. I know you so well. That's what I can tell you wanted to say.
It's been fun, again, as always.
If I had my way, we would do this every week.
But your kids wouldn't be quiet enough every week. Once a week, that would be asking too much.
Of who?
Your children.
Of them?
Yeah.
Who cares?
All right. See you guys next week.
Do they have jobs? Are they contributing to the bottom line here in my house? No. I say what happens here.
Really?
And if I say I'm going to do a podcast every week, then by gum, I'm going to do a podcast every week.
Well, that's awesome that you say what goes. I would say next week, then we have to have your wife on the podcast and see if that's true.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Exactly. Actually, you know what? Actually, honestly, next month we should have our wives on talking about the effects from Melamus.
It's been fun as always, gentlemen.
Yes, it has. Have a good month, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.
Melamus, Melamus, have a very Melamus. Melamus, Melamus, have a very Melamus.
Daddy, what's Melamus?
Melamus comes this time each year when you hear a lot of songs that you don't want to hear. You wear a big smile and you play along, but you know deep down there's something wrong. Some of it's pap, some of it's crap. It makes you feel like a sap 'cause you're so damn happy. Songs so corny they would clear the room till you're wishing that the holidays were over soon. That's Melamus. If you don't play the game, then you're not patriotic.
Melamus.
You're so full of cheer that you feel psychotic.
Melamus, Melamus, have a
But Daddy, Melamus, where did Melamus, Melamus come from?
Well, I'll tell you. Jason and Jeff, two bloggers on a mission, playing Mellow Gold and sharing their positions. When you start reading what they have to say, you'll hear these tunes in a brand new way. That's
Melamus.
Makes you feel sick, yeah, it makes you feel fluish.
Melamus.
Just for a second, you wish you were Jewish.
Melamus, Melamus, have a very Melamus. Melamus, Melamus,
Jason and
have
Jeff.
A very Melamus.
Jeff
Melamus,
and Jason, Jeff
Melamus,
and Jason.
Have a very Melamus. Melamus, Melamus.
Daddy,
have a
what's that
Melamus,
glistening in the
Melamus,
snow?
Melamus, have a very
Don't touch
Melamus,
that. It's reindeer poop.
Melamus, have a very Melamus. Have a very, have a very, have a very Melamus. Mellow, 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 mellow.
All right, this is conversation for December. We save this for December.
You're so obsessed with saving things. You're like a squirrel.
Well, he does store nuts in his mouth.
Hey-o.
You are correct, sir.
Well done, Dave.
Thank you.
That's what you had to do. You had to run with it. That was good.
Yep. We're just like all about nuts in this episode.
Well, you know, from soup to nuts. wah, wah. That works surprisingly well.
Yeah.
Same for the podcast box set.
I was hoping it would be more like a teaser for our listeners. They'll be like, oh man, in December they're going to talk about the Yule log.
Yeah.
I got to come back for that.
For a guy who didn't even know what he was going to say in this episode, to all of a sudden start thinking about next episode, is
that's the thing. That's why I'm saying if I didn't know what I was going to talk about this episode, now I know something to talk about for December. So you know,
there's so much to talk about in December. We'll be fine.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.